Week since we've been in Luke. Gonna go back and finish out chapter 20 today. Look a little bit into chapter 21. Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20. We're gonna be starting in verse 45, right there at the end of the chapter. Gonna read through verse 4 of chapter 21. Luke chapter 20, starting in verse 45. And while all the people were listening, he said to the disciples, "Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes and love respectful greetings in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets, who devour widows' houses and for appearance sake offer long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation." And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw a poor widow putting in two small copper coins. And he said, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all of them. For they all, out of their surplus, put into the offering, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the truth of your word. And Lord God, how your way goes completely against pride, goes completely against the draws of this world. Father, your heart is for our heart to follow you. Your heart is for us to look at the example that Jesus gave us, where in Philippians chapter 2 it says that have this attitude or this mindset in you that Christ had. And the whole example is humility. It's not pride. It's not following ourselves, our selfish ambitions. But Lord God, it's humility. Thank you so much for that example. Thank you, Father, for what you did here through Christ in the last week here on earth that he had as one who the people hoped would be the Messiah in their way, not knowing that your way is much broader, much greater, much, much more encompassing than just to set up Israel as the main focus there on earth at that point. Lord God, your way was a spiritual battle that needed won. Thank you so much for winning that spiritual battle. We love you. Through Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Luke, we have come right up to the last few days that Christ was here before his crucifixion. And the whole time, Luke has been very precise in his dealing with this. He wanted to show the complete humanity of Christ, but he wanted to be very precise, and he did it through showing the births of Christ and of John, but also his baptism, that John baptized Jesus, that the beginning of his ministry, and throughout his ministry, how he did the miracles, how he raised the dead to life. And all of the things that he did, and he chose the 12, and he had so many disciples following him. He had so many people following him. He had disciples, those who wanted to follow him and wanted him to be the Messiah. He had just the curious following him, but he also, by this time, had his detractors, the people that didn't want anything to do with him, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the ones that were in charge in Israel. And they were willing to keep Rome there. They were willing to put up with Rome so long as they got to be in charge, which is what was happening. So we're in the last week here. He had his triumphal entry where he came into Jerusalem on a donkey to fulfill the prophecies of the Old Testament. He did that, and the people were saying, "Oh, praise the Lord, now he'll set up his kingdom, and he'll bring together an army, and we'll defeat Rome, and Israel will be the Garden of Eden. Israel will be the top dog. He'll rule the nations like the Old Testament says." But Jesus had something more vital in mind. He had a spiritual battle that he was seeking to win. He was doing God's desires. Without the suffering of Christ, without that cross, we would never be able to have been forgiven. Without the resurrection, we would never have new life. So what he had in mind was greater, which is a great reminder for us in whatever we're going through. What he has in mind is greater than my whatever it is. And we're going to see that as we go into this, especially when we get to the cross. Because the night before, what does he pray? Lord, if possible, take this cup from me, but not my will be done, but yours. So the attitude of Christ was humility. The attitude of Christ was submission to his Father, dependence upon his Father. And he showed us that perfectly. But we're in the last several days. We're in the last week. We're about in the middle of the week here. And the people are still following. The people still want him to raise up an army. The people still have expectations of Jesus. They want him to be the Messiah. They want him to be a physical king so that they can have a physical realm. And Jesus has something greater in mind. But he has his detractors. He has his enemies. The ones, the Pharisees, they came to him with a question. The Sadducees came to him with a question. The scribes, a couple of questions. The scribes came and they talked about his authority. What authority do you have? And then the Sadducees or the Pharisees came and said, well, should we pay taxes? Trying to trap him there. And then Sadducees came and said, well, what about this resurrection thing? I mean, we don't believe in the resurrection. So you do, so explain it to us. And he did. And then the last question was from the scribes. The scribe who came up and talked about which was the greatest commandment. And he answered him, and that scribe said, you know, you're probably right, teacher. You're right. You know, you answered that well. And he said, you know what? You're really close. You're really close to coming into this kingdom. And that shut them all down because they didn't want any part of whatever kingdom he had. They didn't want anything to do with it because they were the top dogs here. They didn't want him to be in charge of them. So the scribes were the Pharisees, some Pharisees were scribes. All the scribes were Pharisees, but they were the experts. They were the lawyers. They were the experts in the law. Many people looked up to them. We're going to look at that today. But what we're seeing today is Jesus is warning his followers about pride and their position. The pride and position. And his focus is on the disciples. Look what it says in verse 45. Jesus had just asked the scribes, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, he had just asked them about the Son of David, that the Messiah was the Son of David. He asked them that question, and they didn't have an answer. They could not answer it. So he had shut them all down, and at that point, none of them were willing to say anything. None of them were willing to question him again. But if you look in verse 45, it says, while all the people were listening, he said to the disciples. So all the people were still there. They were all following. They were all wanting him to be the Messiah. They were becoming more and more, I don't know the word, not disgusted, but more and more knowing the fact that he's not doing what we want him to do. Because in the matter of probably 3 days, they're going to shake his fist at him and say, crucify him. Because Rome's going to have him, and Rome's going to have him flogged, and he's going to be standing before them like a piece of meat, and he's going to say, he's not doing any of this that we thought he would do. We're not going to follow this guy. He's weak. And yet in that moment was his strength. But here, Jesus has just shut down all the scribes. He has just shut them all down with a law question. A question from their own law that they should have known. A question from their own Old Testament they should have realized. And yet he shut them all down. Their hero, David, he shut them down. So they're standing there. And he turns to the disciples because there's a point here he wants to make to the disciples. Keep that in mind. This is a teaching moment. He has already shown the disciples the problem with the people. The problem with their leaders was unbelief. And the disciples were, he knows, Jesus knows what's going to happen when he leaves. The disciples are going to gain in popularity. The disciples are going to be raised up in, there's going to be a lot of Christians, there's going to be a lot of, there were 3,000 added in one day at Pentecost. There's going to be a lot of people who are looking up to the disciples, looking up to the apostles. So he's teaching them something. And what he wants to teach them is the character of the prideful position, the character of a prideful position. Look what it says in verse 46. He says, beware of the scribes. Beware of the scribes. That's a great word, beware. It's actually a compound word. And it means, it's got two things. It's pros, which means beside, and echo, which means to have. To have something. To get something. So he says, have this beside you. Beware means to pay close attention. Have it right beside you. Pay close attention to this. You ever heard the saying, keep your friends close and your enemies closer? What Jesus was saying is, look, have this right next to you. Keep tabs on this. Beware. Pay real close attention to this, to the scribes. And he's told them that because the scribes were the ones who looked extremely good. They were the ones who took the law that God gave in the Old Testament, and they interpreted it. They were thought to be very wise. They were thought to be very smart. They had this wonderful position, and yet they were using it in a very prideful manner. They were using it to fulfill their fleshly desires rather than God's will. Because you look what it says. He gives 5 points here, or five things about them, the scribes. He says, beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes. That's the first one. Like to walk around in long robes. There was specific garb that the scribes would wear. There were specific robes that were very long and flowing, and it made them stand out in a crowd. Let's put it that way. They stood out in the crowd. People knew they were scribes. They knew that they had this lofty position. And they liked to do that. They wanted to walk around in these robes so that everyone would notice them. All right? So what are they after here? Attention, right? And that attention was because of pride. Keep that in mind. Because every one of these point to that. So they wanted that attention to walk around in long robes. They wanted to show others who they were, what they were a part of. The second thing. They love respectful greetings in the marketplace. Now, this word love goes to the next couple things. And the word love here is phileo. It's from phileo. It's a word that's a very deep affection for. They have a very deep affection for this respectful greetings in the marketplace. When they go out and about, they have their long robes on, and they want people to respect them and to show a respectful greeting. Oh, Reverend, I just love it. I get these letters. Say, Reverend Mark Cass. I'm going, who is that? They don't know me at all. The Reverend Mark, you know, and I'm going, yeah, right. Okay, let's try this again. But they love these greetings. Most High Scribe. They love the respectful greeting because they believe they're worthy. They believe that they are worthy of that. They thought themselves to be smarter. They thought themselves to be higher than common people, than those who weren't scribes, because of their position, because of their pride. Remember? Attention. They wanted that attention because it came from pride. Remember, we're talking about their fleshly desires here. What they wanted to fulfill in their fleshly desires, they're using the name of God in the process. They're using their position in that process. Look at the next thing. So they love the respectful greetings, and they love the chief seats in the synagogues. They liked sitting in the front row. They wanted to sit in the front row. They wanted. I can't remember whether it's the Anglican Church or the Eastern Orthodox, but one of them. They have the pews, and they have a set of pews up here. And these pews up here are for the ones who give a lot. the important families who have sustained that, you have given a lot of money to the church, and they're to set up here so that when everybody looks up, they can see them. They like those places. And that was the synagogue. They wanted to sit in the chief places, the greatest places, which brought what? Attention, pride, which fed their pride. So these things go back to that. What's the next one? Places of honor at banquets. Remember what Jesus said? What he told his disciples? He said, when you go to a banquet, he said, don't go sit in the place of honor, which would have been at the right or the left hand of the host. He said, because somebody more important might come in, and then right in front of everybody, he's going to say, hey, get up and go sit over there, because I got somebody important. He said, sit at the last place on the table. Go sit there, and then they'll come and say, hey, you need to come sit up here in this important spot. These scribes, they wanted there. They wanted that spot. Because of what? Attention. Pride. You see how their position, how their place they were utilizing that for pride and attention. But then you have the other side of it. You have the behind-the-scenes work. Look at verse 47. Who devour widows' houses. Devour widows' houses. How did they do that? They were the scribes. They were the important. They had the wisdom. They and the widows were vulnerable. The widows whose husband had worked and amassed enough for his wife and died. And these scribes, the one thing that they were in charge of was the temple treasury. They were the ones who could say, you know, it needs to go here, it needs to go here, it needs to go here. And since they were involved with God's work, they could influence those who were more vulnerable. And they did. And that's what it means to devour widows' houses. And why did they do it? For attention, for greed, which goes right along with pride. You see, all of this points back to the fleshly desires that these guys had. And how they were utilizing God to fulfill them. Look at the next thing. The last thing. For appearance sake, offer long prayers. You should notice how that doesn't say from their heart they offered long prayers. No. They did it for appearance. Seeking to impress who? God? No. Seeking to impress man. Seeking to impress those around him. That they could pray long and lofty prayers. You see how they utilize, and what did that bring? Attention. What did that come from? Pride. So their service to God, their position in serving God was utilized for their fleshly desire. And look what it says. Look at the end. It says, these will receive greater condemnation. These will receive greater condemnation. The word receive there is lambano. It's the word to take. And it's in the future tense. These will at some point, which will be in the day of judgment, receive, and it's also in the middle voice. So these are going to grab that greater condemnation. They're going to take it. They're going to grasp it. Why? Because they're utilizing what position they have in their religious system for their own fleshly desires. Whether it's pride, whether it's greed, lifting themselves up, utilizing their place, saying that this is what God desires, that he's lifting me higher. You see that? That's that prideful attitude. What others thought of them, or what others did to them, was more important than what was the truth. The outside was so much more important than the inside. And Jesus is actually pointing this out. He's talked to them all along about the inside, about your heart. Even in the very beginning of his ministry with the Sermon on the Mount, what did he say? So the Old Testament, he said, the commandments of God says don't kill. But if you just hate your brother, you've already killed him. Commandments of God say, don't commit adultery, but if you just lust, You've already done it in your heart. Your heart, he's bringing the physical down to a heart issue. But the Pharisees, the Sadducees, especially the scribes, they didn't want that. They wanted to satisfy what was physical by utilizing what was spiritual. And that was their attitude. That's where pride steps in. Because what is the middle of pride? And I learned this a long time ago. But if you say P-R-I-D-E. I is right in the middle of pride. It's me. It's about me. You see, so even in their position, even in what they had, whatever influence they had, it was still about them rather than God. And folks, don't judge them too harshly because we get caught up in that too. We can. And I think that's one of the reasons Jesus says, beware. He told his disciples, keep this right alongside of you. Beware of the scribe. Beware of that attitude, that type of heart, that type of heart of pride. Because these disciples were going to be in somewhat of that position coming up. You read through the book of Acts, and there were thousands and thousands of people coming to Christ. And they were looking to the apostles for guidance. They were looking to the apostles for teaching. They became quite important. Of course, they became very dangerous people too. They had a lot of enemies. But yet they could have developed pride in that. And he says, beware, beware of that. Beware of that attitude of that heart of pride. Beware of the scribes, because that's what they have. This is how it's shown in their life. The heart of pride, that's how it's shown in their life. So why did he do it? Why did he say that? Because of the pride that could happen. The pride that was happening in front of them with the scribes. The pride that could happen. And then he goes on. Look at chapter 21. Because this is an example of Jesus' teaching here. I think this all fits together. Remember, the chapter and verses weren't put in until about 1200 AD. So 1200 years after this was written, they separated it into chapters and verses, making it easier to memorize, easier to read, easier to find, places. But this was all just one letter. Look what it says. And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw a poor widow putting in two small copper coins. So Jesus he was in the temple at this point. And he was sitting and watching with his disciples and I think a mass of people. And he looked up and he saw this. And he wanted to point something out to his disciples. And what he saw was a comparison. He saw the rich putting in their gifts and the poor woman putting in two small copper coins. And then he said, verse 3, truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all of them, for they out of all of their surplus put in to the offering, but she out of her poverty put in all she had to live on. this contrast, and there's some wonderful illustrations here. There's some great applications. God's word says there's one interpretation, but there's many applications. You can take this and apply it many different ways. Wonderful ways, good ways to give of all we have, to give of ourselves. The fact that we don't own it, that God does. That to give from our heart, to depend upon God. These are wonderful applications, and you could go on and on. The problem here was, he wasn't promoting to his disciples to be giving to the temple here. The temple, this was the offering that he's talking about here was not one of the demanded ones. Was not part of the 23%+ that the people had to give. They had to give a tithe, they had to give temple tax, they had to give, and all the taxes that they ended up having to give to the temple, to their governmental system, the religious system was their governmental system. It ended up being over 23%, somewhere over 23%. But on top of that, they had offerings. Now, it was a little bit like our church, but it was different, okay? Because our church, we have the offering plate sitting back there, and I'm forever forgetting to tell people that we've got an offering plate sitting back there. We don't pass the plate here, but we've got it sitting back there. My sister came one time to church here. After church, she said, "So why don't you guys take an offering?" I said, "Oh, we do. It's back there." She said, "Why don't you tell people?" I said, "Well, they know." "Well, I didn't know." I said, "Well, you're a visitor." So anyway, I lost. So it's my sister. I lost. But in the temple that they had, you walked in, and it was in the first place there in the temple. There were boxes, large boxes. There were 13 boxes. And on the top of the box was a cone. Okay, so it started small and it went up bigger. And you know, these cones are gold or some, anyway, they're metal cones. And you would never bring dollar bills there. I mean, you would change them into silver dollars or half dollars or something big and noisy. All right? Because when you came in, there were 13 of these. You came in and you dropped them in that. It was really loud. That wouldn't sound very good, did it? I was going to bring up some coins and spill them all, but it was really loud. Really. And everybody noticed. Everybody noticed. That was what they were after. They wanted that attention. For everybody to know, look what I'm giving. And they would drop them in slowly and ching, 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 ching. And everybody would look over and go, "Oh, they're giving so much." You see what it says? That the rich were putting in gifts into their treasury. They were dropping them in and everybody could hear it. It would resound in there and everybody could hear that. But that widow, she came with two small copper coins. You know what those were? The way we can understand, because we can't understand it in their monetary system, but in our monetary system, it would be worth about an eighth of a cent each. About an eighth of a cent. And it was very small. Very small. Very tiny. And they would drop. She dropped those two in and went, tink, 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 tink. Wasn't like the ching, 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 like that. It was just a ding, ding. And Jesus noticed that, and he looked at her, and he looked at his disciples. He says, "You see that? Truly I say to you this. She gave more than they did." They're going, "Are you kidding me? Did you hear what they gave? It was loud. There was a whole bunch." But he said, "Look at where it's coming from." Because they had a surplus. They had all of this at home, and they took a little bit out and they poured it in. And she gave everything that she had. Everything she had to live on. 2 little 8 cents. We'll say, "Well, that wouldn't be a very good living." No. But she gave it anyway. That's all she had, and she gave it. So you can take a lot of applications out of this. Okay? To give from your heart. I mean, she trusted God. She was dependent upon God then because she gave it all. Whereas the rich, they gave it a little piece. And we look at how God blesses us, and it says that He will care for us according to His riches. According, not out of His riches. God will take care of us according to. So as much as He owns, He's going to take care of us. So you take all of those applications. Those are good applications. But if you notice when Jesus is writing there, or when Luke puts this in, and when it happened right after what Jesus had taught, if you look at this, this was a prime example of what was happening with the scribes. He said, "Beware of the scribes, because look, they stand out in the crowd with pride, but they also devour widows' homes with greed." And this widow had two small copper coins and gave it all. Now, in Scripture, we're never told to give everything we own to the church back here. We're not told that. What we are told is that God owns everything we own. Is that God has more than ever He needs. He doesn't want us to give to the offering today. He doesn't want you to give to the offering because He needs it. And He doesn't want you to give to this church. He wants you to give it to Him. Okay? We are never supposed to give to a religion. We're supposed to give it to God. So then, when you give it to this church and we do something stupid with it, then it becomes our responsibility. It's not because you gave it. It's not your fault, because you were giving it to God. So the point in giving is to help us depend. Help us depend on God. We give so that we can depend upon God. So that we trust God, because He is faithful and He will supply all of our needs according to His riches. All right, so there's the point in giving. But the point He's showing here, I believe one of the main issue here is He's showing them how the scribes were using their influence even for this poor widow to give everything she had. They were devouring the widow's homes. They were utilizing their influence. They were utilizing their own pride and their own greed in God's name to completely take away everything this widow had because of their own selfish ambition. And that's why at the end of verse 47, he says they will receive greater condemnation. Greater condemnation. But don't get the idea that we can never fall under that. Yes, we can never fall under that condemnation because we're Christ, we're children of God. But don't get the idea that we can't fall under that temptation. Because we can utilize our influence, whatever it is, we can utilize for our own fleshly desires, for our own fleshly wants. The scribes, they use the influence and position to gain money, to gratify their own physical nature, sinful nature. And we can do that to some degree. And Jesus is warning His disciples here. He's warning His disciples against that. Using whatever influence we have to satisfy our remnant of sin, which is still in us. We still have a remnant of sin in us. Yes, we have a new nature. But that's why He says, beware. Watch right alongside. Right alongside of you. Beware. The second principle here is to give from your heart. Not to impress God, not to impress man, but to give from your heart. We're already told that it all belongs to Him. So listen to Him. Follow Him. Let Him supply all that we need. You can trust Him. He is faithful. You know, in all this, you ask, why? Why did He tell them all that? Why did he say beware, all that? Because they were utilizing the position they had, the influence they had, saying it was from God, utilizing that to fulfill their own selfish desires. Pride, greed, whatever. Don't fall into that. It's what He's telling His disciples. Don't fall into that. In whatever sphere of influence you have, don't fall into utilizing it for your own selfish fleshly desires. Because we have those fleshly, selfish desires. Use whatever influence you have to point others to dependency on your Father. He doesn't need our money. He wants our hearts. And He wants your heart, especially if you don't know Him. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ to be your Lord, your Savior, you can't depend on Him. Because you don't know Him. When we come to know Him, we understand dependence on Him. And sometimes He allows us to have everything taken away. Sometimes He allows us to get into situations where we look around and say, well, I can't do it of myself. So that we say, God, You can. If you've never trusted Him, you don't have a friend that way. You don't know Him like that. I would love to show you from God's Word how you can know Him like that. How you can look to Him for everything. How you can look to Him as Lord, as Master in your life. Amazing thing about pride is we can be the king of the world and die. And then we stand before the king of the universe. We can have all the money in the world and die. And we take nothing with us. The amazing thing about all of this is we, just like the scribes, we have a tendency to put so much focus on what's physical. We forget our identity is in Christ. We are spiritual beings that Christ is raising up spiritually. Folks, if you haven't trusted Christ, I would love to show you how you can have a relationship with Him. I've talked a little bit about giving. I hardly ever talk about giving because I'll talk about it when the Word talks about it. But in all of that, this aspect, I think the one principle you can come out with is give from your heart and give it to God. Give it to God. So we let it go completely when we give it to God. But know this, pride, greed, selfishness, all that can come into play so easily. Did with the scribes, and they were the experts in the law. It can with us. He was warning his disciples. So I think we need that also, to recognize that yes, we can mess up that way. But God loves us, and we can depend upon Him in every situation. Utilize the influence, the position you have to point others to dependence on your Father. Let's close in prayer.